Intervju Radija Študent.
Lep pozdrav v intervju Radija Študent. Tokrat smo ful veseli, da se nam je v studiju pridružil en prav poseben gost iz Severne Irske. Glede na to, da je iz Severne Irske, bomo kar takoj priklopili na angleški jezik, zato da ga ne bomo prepustili dolgo časa čakati. Today here with us here is Andrew Morrison. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Slovenia.
So for starters, I don't know, maybe tell us, the listeners or the radio student, a little bit about your musical upbringing. And I mean, as a listener and also as a musician, how?
Yeah, I think it was my brother and my dad, like, brought me into more interest in music really early. Like around, because my dad was a big post-punk fan, he was around in that time in the UK. And my brother's just even always branched out for crazier music. So by the time I was 12 and 13, I was like massive krautrock fan and really into post-punk kind of things. And then I started discovering more electronic music, like as I got those tastes. And that started when I started making music around that time as well. Then I started making more electronic things because that was the only, I only had electronic instruments.
Yeah. So already at 14?
Yeah, there'd be some tracks like I was making then, like, and some of the sounds would have appeared on Bones in Motion from a long time ago.
Yeah. So when did it happen that you put out some things? I mean, you know, to present them to the world? Or
yeah, it was around like 2010, 2011 that I decided to send just an email to two labels, and one was Crash Cymbals, the first album, and then Leaving Records, and they both replied interested, and it just went on from there.
Super.
Yeah.
Super. So about this Crash Cymbals album, I mean the Bending Brass album, there's quite some confusion, you know, reading the interweb articles. Is it an album or it isn't? Because if you go to, I think because if you go to Living Records or maybe Stone's Throw page, it says that
it's the debut album.
Debut album.
Yeah, I think there was a bit of confusion because I didn't really tell either of the labels much about the other label plans, and so they both got sort of confused. Like, I guess you would say that the Bend and Brass one was the first, like, but I guess some people might describe it as more of an EP, but it's long enough. I don't know. Yeah, but for such full length, then I guess it's my first double album then for Bones in Motion, since it's a double LP. But yeah, Ben and Brass would probably have to be the first.
Okay, tell us a little about.
It was the first that was made as well when I was making the tracks as well. Made the Ben and Brass, then moved on this Bones in Motion, but they were both made around the same time.
I was about to ask you, you know, about this musical process that you're in when you're making music.
Yeah, it's. I always find that I'm making music at night. It's mainly usually because I at school or that kind of thing, or work or whatever, and I always just find that like coming up to midnight or something, I'll be finishing off the tracks or something, but only around those times. So, and even when I have loads of free time, it's always around then that I find myself experimenting with some tapes and things.
So it's basically just, I don't know, running some patterns into machines and then recording, listening, or.
At first I was doing that separately. I would do recording just with hardware, just on its own, with the cassettes, and then I was making things on the side on a laptop on Ableton. And then after a few years, I just suddenly decided I'd put that together, and I came up with the Cyclist kind of sound. And I've been making more house things on the computer and on the tapes. I'd been making more kraut rocky and post-punk, and when it came together, it just just sort of worked. And I thought I should send this to some people. I'm just crossing my fingers, hoping that they'll say yeah, or have some kind of reply rather than yes, release. Yeah.
So this is a deliberate decision, this tape stuff, or is it a coincidence that you had this
initially
technology?
Yeah, my brother had bought an old cassette tape recorder, yeah. And from there I'd just been doing that. It just happened to be that I just liked those sounds, and I thought a lot of times songs that were playing from a tape sounded better than the ones that were like high quality CDs. I preferred these crap like wrecked vinyls that my dad had, because they were from the 70s and he'd been not very careful with them, so they all sounded a bit warbled, a little distorted, and a lot of noise, and it just became natural to hear songs that way.
So okay, on the one hand we have this, you know, recording sessions that you have, so it's one way of, you know, making music. And when did you start also thinking about, you know, how are you going to perform this music? And
that was really recently that I started thinking about live, because I hadn't even when the album was coming out, I hadn't thought about playing live at all. I just thought I'd let it out there and no one will ever ask me to play live. They'll just be like, this sounds crazy, and listen to it in their living room. But then Matthew David, who runs Leaving Records, was coming over to England and he was like, you have to play live now, like get equipment sorted and figure out how to play live, because we gotta get this going. And yeah, I just suddenly had to do a tour in March, and ended it with on the fourth date with a boiler room. And I hadn't ever played live ever much before that, like two nights and the two nights previous. And thus I just suddenly had to. So I had to come up with it quite quick. It was a little shaky and nervous at first, like on the boiler room that thousands of people watched, and I was so nervous. but I think by now, I've sort of come about a bit more with playing live, a bit more natural with it.
So what is the technology behind your live performances?
At the moment, it's just laptop and controller, but using the distorted loops that I have from the tapes and things, and just some of the beats, and they've been more distorted. And then I've designed some effects within Ableton, made some of my own, with some emulation of tapes.
So
which I do sometimes when I'm actually making music as well, that I'll try and trick the ear of the listener into not being sure if it's been made on a tape or if it's been made using some computer effects at times, to make it like a fake tape sound, and then all our tracks are just completely taped.
So on the album Bones, Bones in Motion, there's a lot of these distorted, dusty sounds. Where does this dust come from?
it's a combination of things. Like some of the samples that I've used are just like one of the best things I found for the drums was I found like just the same drum machines anyone else would use, but I found like mixes from the early 80s, the people first using those drum machines, and they were just like, some of the mixes were just had bits with just the drums, and I would like cut up like just every single drum, and then I'd use that as a drum machine of just these horribly distorted drum tones that sounded completely different than and better in my opinion, the warmer and dustier. And then some of it's from the pretty really old cassette tapes that I have for recording, and then sometimes it's that mixed with sometimes just noise of a synth and a computer, but like really low and like a bit more intricate than just using a tape.
But otherwise your analog equipment is perfectly functional, or does it
noises? Some of my equipment's pretty bad. It was cheap eBay buys that were already broken when I got them, and they've broken more since I've tried to play on them drunk, and they've just been a bit wrecked. I don't think I have any equipment that works fully at the moment. I'm buying some new stuff, but for now none of my equipment works fully. Especially the tape machines that I use for recording some things. Like they're they're warbly is crazy and like not proper, not the way they should work. Yeah.
So when you have, you know, certain tracks, one out of this machine, one out of another, and some weird sounds and stuff, does this distortion only, you know, culminates and getting, you know, more and more distortion, or do you...
I try to tone it down in certain places. Yeah, when there's been a lot of distortion in one particular sample, I'll lower the volume of that whole sample to see if I can try and make it a bit more subtle with the noise, even if it is very obvious in the end product. Like, each of them needs to be their own like variable of noise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on top, layered over the actual sounds of the synths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What lies behind this decision that you, I guess, made when you named all the equipment that you used making this Bones in Motion album? Because on the CD release that we have here on the radio,
yeah,
on the inner side, there's, you know...
Well, the guy asked me for liner notes, and I didn't know what else to give other than just the people, I guess, would be maybe inspired by if they have a tiny amount of equipment, like, these labels will still be really interested, like, that even just with a guitar and a crap keyboard and just one tape machine, you can do a lot with.
Yeah,
like,
so it was, in a way, this that you wanted to show to,
yeah, yeah,
to tell the world that even if
with
you
limited
don't
limited equipment, you can get a vinyl out there. Yeah. Especially these days, since people are, some labels are really open to, like, new sounds.
So how has been this year for you so far with this relative success of Bones in Motion? And
it's been the best, to be honest. It's been a good year in university, and it's been an even better year with my music. With the reviews on Fact and Accelerator and Pitchfork showing interest and things, and it's just, yeah, it's been pretty great. And I've met some like big inspirations, like Charanjit Singh, the Indian producer, and a lot of just, it's been a good year, definitely.
So playing live also a lot?
Yeah, that's just come out of nowhere, and it's been great since that started. Yeah, I really loved them, like, just seeing people dancing to my music, and like, some of them going pretty crazy, and then others just like, just really, definitely really digging it.
Yeah. Of course. So what about where are you situated at the moment?
I go back and forth between Liverpool and Derry in Northern Ireland.
Uh-huh. So you were brought up in Derry in Northern Ireland?
Yeah.
So what kind of scene, I mean, musical scene, club scene, is there?
There's not much of a scene, like electronic scene in Derry anyway, like it's very minimal. That's why I looked abroad for other labels like Liebman Records, because they were more doing some interesting things. And not many releases, like interesting ones, come out of Derry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just situated in Derry. I didn't know of any labels there, like, that would be anyway interested in what I was doing.
So yeah. There has not been many visiting concerts or clubs when you were young? You were young in Derry, did you visit a lot?
Did you attend parties?
And
yeah, any interest in electronic thing that would come, I'd always try to get to it. Like, I'd spend the only money I have on that, and then the alcohol that I could try and bring along, like, try and sneak in. But yeah, it wasn't very frequent that there would be good music on, just the cheesy stuff. Yeah.
Do you buy music?
Do I buy music? Yeah. I've been building a bit of a vinyl collection, but I've never really had much money. But yeah, I do. Yeah.
So you also spin some from time to time as a DJ, or?
No, I haven't really DJed before. Really, it's just, I'd never really done any live things. I'd never stepped up to it. I want to get to DJing more. I just need to put some mixes out there. But I guess I always want them to be perfect, like with the tracks as well. Like, and I think with just making a mix, like, some people seem to be able to do it so easily, but for me, I'd have to be really intricate with it, and like, yeah, it's just taken me a while to try and feel more natural with it.
Mm.
Yeah.
So is there at this moment some kind of promotional machinery behind you already, or is it still basically DIY and, you know, offer from here, from there? And
yeah, with the gigs, it's just, I'm doing it all myself. Like, if someone gets in contact with me, then I'll be like, great, that's great. Like, I want to come meet you because you're into my music and I want to play. Yeah. At the moment, I don't really want to sign too many contracts or anything like that, because it's too much business and things can go wrong with that. Well, as if I just have it personal and talk to the people and like face to face, then it's better, and they like it more.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So considering this, I guess it has been really busy year for you this year.
Yeah, definitely. Because I had like tour, and then I had exams, and then I had more gigs right afterwards, and it was just pretty crazy.
Was there any time to make some new stuff?
Yeah, I've been making stuff all year, and there's a few 12 inches like vinyls coming out, over the next couple of months, and a few remixes and things coming along. I've been making something for Leaving that I'm putting like the most work into. Like, it's something like I'm hoping it'll be big. Yeah, I'm working to try and make it something like big, but using my sound. Yeah.
Big by what kind of standards?
Something epic sounding. Like,
okay.
Not exactly movie soundtrack-ish, but like more to, like, still like, I think I'm going for
with
a
beats
half
and everything.
With an epic version of krautrock techno. If that's what I'm sort of going for. Mm. Yeah, dark sounds and Eastern sounds mixed in dates, but still like heavy basses and things. And I've covered the basses in tape echo and things to try and like make them sound insane and really unique. That I was trying to go for with some of the sounds.
Mm.
Yeah.
So your both albums so far has come out on tapes also? I mean, the first one, Bending Brass, was
yeah,
only
it was only tape. It was just 100 copies, and I have like one left in my house. But yeah, and this album came out in a really nice tape that Jesse Lisa from Leaving Records, their designer, made a really nice like design of the cassette ones. Mm. And the cassette one had a few extra nice tracks as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
So is this a byproduct that these labels that release your albums are maybe a little oriented towards this tape
the
culture?
Well, Leaving Records, they've always been, and I was a big fan when I actually sent them the music, just because they had that same kind of cassette sound that I had come up with, like, because I did it myself, like, and before I noticed anyone else was doing it, and then I saw other people were interested in it. Yeah, they're definitely orientated towards cassettes and things like that, like, and recorded with those sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think they're more open and will do like other things as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you listen to music, you also listen to it on tapes from time to time, or?
Sometimes, but that was more when I was younger, but because that was all I had was just tape versions of everything. I guess now I'm just like on the computer, usually, yeah. Even computer or vinyl.
Mm.
Yeah. But I think like listening to it, like a lot of music on tapes when I was younger, made like really inspired me to like make the music in this kind of way.
Mm.
Yeah.
So are you going to continue in this fashion, or?
Yeah, at least like if I want to do something different, which I probably will do, I'll do it under a different name, under this like this, but just. But I think for the newer sounds, like on Leaving Records, the big one I want to do, I'm trying to make sure every version of distortion into one strange sound of like digital distortions as well, but those distorted by analog, like terrible analog equipment to make it sound more particular.
Mm.
Yeah, trying to combine both the computers and tape sounds like even better is what I'm going for.
Mm.
Yeah.
So on Bending Brass, not on Bending Brass, but on Bones in Motion, there is one song that also has vocals. A little, you know, that they're not so obvious.
Yeah, there's a couple of songs. Yeah. With small amount of sounds, like a.
So who is the one singing?
There's like two ones. There's two. The one of them was just a girl on YouTube that like her video had like 3 views. I can't even find the video again, but I just decided, and she was a terrible singer, really, really bad, and I wanted to try and see if I could make something with that voice, which I did. and then the other is, and this might horrify most people, that I'd use Taylor Swift to try and like attack her voice as best as I could, because it had just been on the radio earlier that day, and I just wanted to like see what the hell I could mess up with that. So on that track Mangle, that's Taylor Swift's voice, as much as it may horrify some listeners if they find out that.
Because amongst the equipment that you've listed in this cover of the album, there's also this Behringer microphone.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What did you use that one for, if not for vocals?
That would be lots of like found sounds around the house, like the sound and visions of that bell is just like a cup full of glass or full of like alcohol in my room, and it's just like banging a rhythm into it, into the tape. And I'd left that for, I made that sound when I was like 15 or something, but yeah, I used that Behringer microphone for that, and then it's mainly used for like percussive sounds, like put into the sampler and then play it back again, and then recorded into the laptop. But before that, like a lot of that album was actually recorded not with that Behringer, but I didn't mention it in the equipment, but I used a guitar tuner that had a microphone built into it, because I didn't have a microphone, so I just used that for a lot of the sounds I would. Yeah, like my own voice I've used in some of the songs as well, just put just a single note and then playing it back when the computer was as a synthesizer.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. So I reckon you must have a huge amount of recordings by now, or?
Yeah, a lot on cassette that I've done, and yeah, I've been making a lot of things lately that haven't come out yet, but I guess I just never know if I think it's good enough to send out to people, so I don't send that much.
Mm.
I guess maybe some people, like a lot of the time I'm sort of surprised that they're really into the tracks, rather than, so maybe I should send more of it out, but yeah, I have a lot of demos, a lot, yeah.
But these past two albums were, did you really focus yourself? I mean, I want to do an album right now and then, you know, have a limited amount of time.
And
some focus with all the songs, or was it just, oh, I found this recording that I taped when I was 15 and this when I was 20 and this is what I did yesterday and
yeah,
let's make a song now? Or was it, you know...
It was sort of a combined version of that I did focus and decide I want to make this many tracks of an album this length.
Mm-hmm.
Like with Bones of Motion, I decided I wanted it to be an hour length of these styles, but then I also used like a lot of... like old recordings, but I didn't just use them as is. Like I would sample my older tracks and reuse them. So some of the recordings, like I had some terrible song I'd made when I was like 15, I used to make some of the sounds and visions that track. But then when it came to actually making the tracks for the album, it would just be the tracks in the album were made mostly in the order of which the album's in. Like, so how I was going along as I did it.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what about live gigs of this year? I mean, what was the most likely environment that you've played or performed live?
The best?
No, what was the, you know, yeah, okay, maybe also the best, but I wanted to ask, like, were you on rock and roll stages or in nightclubs or somewhere in between, or?
It was mostly nightclub kind of places, but like small, dingy, like UK kind of ones.
Uh-huh.
But like on in basement kind of areas with like massive speakers, like with too much bass. And yeah, it was mostly that kind of a place. Like.
Uh-huh.
And I like those gigs because like the crazier, more drunk and fucked up people come to lose. Gigs instead, so you get some weird people dancing in front of you, which is always cool, making strange hand signs at you and things like that, and it's just, you're loving that.
So now that you've prepared this live set that you're playing this year,
yeah,
is it always the same? I mean, is it limited amount of sounds or tracks or bits and pieces that you can use, or do you have a lot of room for different decisions while performing?
Yeah, I use a variation of like 1,000 loops or something that I'll vary it between those, but
You don't use always everything, or?
Yeah, there's a few tracks like I'll leave out on some, and I'll mix and match depending on the venue and the crowd. Like, you gotta do that, because then you can see some people definitely just want to be dancing in some places, and then other places you got find like slower tracks do work much better there. Like, people just want to stand and lean back and chat and have something really interesting in the background.
Mm. Yeah. Do you also use headphones and pre-listen to stuff that you're going to push into the mix, or you just
know?
No,
I just know like the which yeah, I've been practicing a while. Like just to do it without headphones, just to know which. I use a controller that means I don't really need to look at the screen very much. I don't really like doing that anyway, because it doesn't feel as much of the performance if you'd like looks to the listeners if you're checking an email or something, rather than just constantly working at the loops and things.
So tomorrow you're going to have another gig. Just to remind the listeners of the Radio Student, Andrew is going to perform tonight live in Bicofé at 8 o'clock. There is some pre-party also with Felix Gatus, DJ, and later on The Cyclist. So tomorrow you are playing also in Budapest, and are the two gigs, if I would go, you know, for instance, today to your gig in Bicofé and tomorrow at Budapest, would it be really the same, or do you have, you know, this maneuver space to
I'm thinking about it, this gig in Budapest is going to be some of the more like higher tempo songs, like 125 kind of BPM. But it depends once I get to the, I need to see the club, and then I'll decide like last minute how I want to arrange the set. Mm-hmm. If I want to do it completely differently, then like have it a bit more experimental and really mix the tracks, like the different sections of every track, like mix it and like do it very different there.
But once when you make this decision, you know, is there still a lot of space for improvisation, or are there, you know, like practiced and learned out transitions that are always
it's sort of that, like more practiced, to be honest. But I want to work more towards bringing more like analog equipment on stage with me. I've just been trying to figure that out at home on how to actually do that well, because I imagine I might just lose control of it, and then like I like to make sure it's I know exactly what I'm gonna do beforehand.
Yeah. So what are you preparing for tonight? Have you already made this decision?
I have. I know the sort of order of the tracks that I'm gonna go with and how to end it. Especially. Yeah. Just sort of from the area.
Yeah. Super.
Yeah.
So maybe a little last invitation or a thought to listeners of our radio?
The distorted music always works better, to be honest.
Cool.
More exciting.
Cool. Well, Andrew, thank you for being here, having this interview, and
Tako le, to je bil Andrew Morrison, a.k.a. The Cyclist, še enkrat in zadnjič ponavljamo, da danes v Bicofeju ob 8. uri najprej Felix Gatus, potem pa The Cyclist, super muzika, lepo vabljeni še enkrat in to je to, se vidimo.
Intervju Radija Študent.